Hey there, thoughtful listener. Are you looking for introductions to partners, investors, influencers, and clients? Well, I've had private conversations with over 2,000 leaders, asking them where their best business comes from. I've got a free video you can watch with no opt-in required, where I'll share the exact steps necessary to be 100% inbound in your industry over the next 6 to 8 months with no spam, no ads, and no sales. What I teach has worked for me for over 15 years and has helped me create 8 figures in revenue for my own companies. Just head to upmyinfluence.com and watch my free class on how to create endless high-ticket sales appointments. Also, don't forget, the Thoughtful Entrepreneur is always looking for great guests. Go to upmyinfluence.com and click on podcast. I'd love to have you. With us right now, it's Stefan Vollard. Stefan, you are the co-founder and CEO of Volt.io, which happens to be the website, Volt.io. Stefan, it's great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, all the way from Poland. Stefan, before we kind of start talking about the work that you do with Volt, which is cool technology, do you mind kind of share with us, like, what have you been doing in your personal life outside of work that you're kind of into right now?
Yeah, so my big passion is quite odd. It's actually vintage Porsche diesel tractors. So even though I run a technology business, I really like escaping the matrix and doing something in the real world. And about like at the time when we had the Series A, I believe we started a small side hustle to just restore tractors. It was initially just intended to be a fun project for myself, since I've grown up on a farm and I always wanted to have a tractor. And then it turned out to be really beautiful and people called us after we made it on one of the calendars. There's a popular distributor of calendars for vintage tractors in Germany. And then people just started calling us and we started turning it into business. And I really like doing that. So there are many similarities between that business and a tech business. So that's, for me, a really nice comparison as well.
Vintage tractors. This is so cool. So just for kicks, I did an image search for vintage diesel tractors. And you're right. So these are really beautiful. Do you have a website? Do you have a website and so forth for the vintage tractors?
Yes, I do. It's vintage-tractors.com. We also have a distributing partner in the US. So Porsche, Garda, Las Vegas. Steve is the person to call in case you would like to acquire one of our tractors.
I'm sorry, it was vintage what tractors?
Minus tractors.
Oh, vintage dash tractors. Dash, I think we say, dash. Yeah, in the US. Yeah, yep, the US, I've got it. Vintage dash tractors. I've got you pulled up right now. Yeah, these are beautiful, which has got to be really fun. So do you remember, like when did you kind of start, like, when did you restore your first tractor?
Actually, my uncle was a mechanic at BMW. My grandfather was a race driver in the Bavarian mountains. He was driving an NSVTT. He died before I got to meet him. But there were loads of trophies all our house and the house of my mother, my grandmother. So I really have this in the family. And we just spent a lot of time back then also restoring the vehicles of farmers in the neighborhood. So I was about like 14, 15 years back then. And that's just something that I always wanted to get back into. And 4 years ago, we started doing it.
Please, please, please start. Oh, you do have a YouTube channel. I was going to say, please start a YouTube channel for this, you know, kind of the before and after. And looks like you do. Thank you for documenting this on video. But it would be so, like, this deserves to be its own TV show. Extreme Tractor Makeover.
Yeah, I mean, the fascinating thing are all the similarities that such a, like, rather traditional business has with building a fintech venture. And so for me, it's also quite exciting to see similarities and differences of having a venture-funded venture versus a small company that needs to really like do a classic riding, right? Cash flow month to month, scale organically, right? You're not going to find a Silicon Valley investor for a tractor business. So it's very interesting to do this reality check between technology and something entirely outside the matrix.
I love it. That is so cool. Thank you for sharing that with me. And again, that website for someone who wants to take a look at some beautiful vintage tractors, vintage-tractors.com. All right, so let's talk about Volt.io. What is Volt?
We are a European fintech. We started following the vision of global real-time account-to-account payments. Our belief is that the world is going real-time. Real-time is no longer optional. It is an expectation of every consumer on the planet. Everybody wants to have a real-time experience, and it starts all very often with payments. Payments should be real-time. Here in Europe, we started following a regulation called Payment Service Directive 2. Which allowed us as a fintech to integrate to banks to initiate real-time payments. Similar to the US, you have FedNow, it's more an institutionalized network. We also offer bank accounts. We have many customers that would be e-commerce retail merchants. We have payments partners, PSPs like Worldpay, Worldline. We also work with a lot of crypto exchanges that some of you would know. But also airlines. So the use case is that we are basically a payment method on the checkout of a retail merchant, e-commerce merchant. And besides of this, we also have started our global expansion. We're not only here in Europe, we're also live in Australia. We follow the infrastructure innovation of the local banks who are also moving towards real-time payments, which we find super exciting. The big vision there is to chase feature parity with cards. So we want to be able to do everything that you currently do with a card with your regular bank account.
So when we talk about, when you say real-time payment, that's just is that somehow different than like just Stripe or PayPal?
If you look at Stripe or PayPal, they offer many more payment instruments. Also, if you integrate someone like Stripe, you get all kinds of global payment methods, and you get cards, you get cash vouchers, you get all kinds of functionality on top of the payment instruments. So you get your own wallet. So for many merchants, Stripe has become a real one-stop shop, similar to PayPal. PayPal is probably the biggest payment instrument in Germany, where I'm from. Everybody has a PayPal account. Everybody pays with PayPal. You could think of us a little bit like PayPal. If people pay with PayPal on their checkout, you could hopefully in the future rather pay with Volt on your checkout.
Okay, so who is Volt for? Who is currently using the platform?
So our initial philosophy was that we wanted to be a lean and mean fintech startup. We believe in automation, efficiency, not in big scale. And therefore, we positioned ourselves a bit in the B2B value chain. So our main customers are other payments platforms like Stripe or PayPal, could be great customers and distribution partners for us to then reach the merchant. Ultimately, we want to be on the merchant checkout so that consumers can pay with Volt. Our customers include airlines. One of them, like I mentioned, is Luxair. There are also others. There are retail merchants, Farfetch, for instance. Many of you might know Farfetch, but also crypto platforms. I'm not allowed to mention all of them since we have NDAs. But in the background, many people might also pay with us in a white label where they see bank transfer on the checkout and it's actually powered by us.
So, Stefan, as a fintech company, it seems like it might be a crowded space. How does a company like Volt grow, and how do you how do you gain more customers? And something from my experience, again, just seems like there's so many options out there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a super competitive industry. I've been in the industry now for 12 years. So I could really see margins decline to close to zero. And also, I think the payments market is a market that's is consolidating and where the perfect price of a payment is zero. And you see this happening in markets like Brazil, where you have Pix. Back in the days, 4 years ago, before there were real-time payments, it was really a card market, like Visa, MasterCard owning the market. And then Pix is a near perfect payment instrument and prices collapse to basically zero. No? So what is the value add and how do you survive and how do you compete in such a market? And you need to be fast, right? It's all about speed of delivery, working close with your customers, solving problems specifically for them, but not so specific that you cannot resell it because otherwise you're wasting resources, no? And you go down a niche you don't want to get into. So being really close to your customer, listening to them, working with them, helping them to go to new markets, but also collaborative innovation. So you want to build new products and you want to ship them quickly. So product diversification is important for us, but also geographic diversification. We don't always want to be the first trying everything, but we want to be pretty close to the first one.
You know, and I'm sorry, I still can't stop thinking about the vintage tractors, and I suspect that there's a business lesson here. What have you learned from your work with vintage tractors that has actually helped you be a better CEO for Volt?
So I think the most important lesson probably is really the time when I was COO, so Chief Operating Officer, on my journey here at Volt. So I was initially CTO, then COO, now CEO. And the businesses were in pretty much the same kind of phase. You had your first product working, you knew how to restore a vehicle, you could sell it. We had a product at Volt, we knew what the product market fit looks like, we could sell it. But then winning a customer and getting a customer live and keeping a customer live are very different, right? And it's same like with the vehicle. A vehicle, every mistake you make, you have to pay for, right? So you need to travel, you need to collect the vehicle, you need to fix it. The same with payments, right? It's a serious business. It's real money. You're handling real funds. So every mistake you make is very expensive. So building playbooks for taking merchants live, improving, working with them, ramp, we call this here, ramp process, and we really focus on that, like building playbooks to avoid issues with customers later, right? You really want to guide them through the go live process. You want to have quality insurance in place. So there are a lot of similarities.
And how might, to our friend that's listening right now, how might they know that Volt might be a better solution for them than their current payment processor?
Ha, excellent question. Many of our investors and customers asked it. So generally, that is the by design how we design it. We're very competitive here at Volt. When we entered the business, we really focused on all the use cases that open banking here had in Europe initially on payments, and we used a concept that many people from the payments industry will know. It's called the payments orchestrator, and the payments orchestration model is by design for competitive comparison. For us, the ultimate success metrics is conversion. So the bottom line that a merchant gets from checkout conversion. So of 100 shoppers that go to your checkout, how many complete a payment successful? That for us is the ultimate holy grail that we are chasing and optimizing the entire business for, because that is what has the ultimate impact on the merchant. Our model by design is set up to compare ourselves with other partners that we also equally route traffic to in the platform. But apart from this, it's not only conversion, it's also how you interact with us. So the real value of a partner you see when something doesn't work, and how close your partner is to you to resolve these issues when something doesn't work and takes you along the journey to fix it quickly and without a blame culture, but just owns it and executes it and solves your problem. And that is really the culture we're trying to build here.
Excellent. So Volt.io is the website. What is it like when you're, let's say that you're going through a demo or you're kind of doing an assessment with somebody to see if Volt might be a good solution for them. What do you typically do in that discovery process?
So there's of course an official sales playbook, right? So there are many stakeholders. So our customers are often enterprise merchants, like very complex organizations, often multinational. So you need to identify your stakeholders that you're selling to. You need to tailor your pitch a little bit to them because each of them have different concerns and problems they want to solve. So for us, I'm picking what a CFO or a treasury owner might want to expect from a payment solution like us is different to what a e-commerce manager might expect or a fraud manager. So understanding the person you're selling to is really important, the key decision makers, but also really understanding the problem, right? You're not here to sell a prepackaged product. You're really here to understand the problem and to help your counterpart understand how you solve it, and also identify if you're not solving it and to innovate together. So that is really important during the sales process for us.
Excellent. Okay, volt.io is the website. To our friend that's listening, what would you recommend they do next? They've heard our podcast here and they may or may not be a fit, but they'd like to figure that out.
Yeah, you can contact us via the website, or you can drop me an email directly. So stefan@volt.io. So I usually love spending time with our customers, hearing how we can work with you, how we can maybe open new products or territories with you. So yeah, or also if you have a comparative story, a different venture that you want to build in the fintech space, quite often there are synergies you wouldn't anticipate. So we'd love to hear from you as well.
Yeah. All right. Volt.io, Stefan Voller. You are the co-founder and CEO. Stefan, it's been a great conversation. Thank you so much. And can't wait to see all the latest transformations at Vintage Dash Tractors as well. Stefan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the Thoughtful Entrepreneur Show. If you are a thoughtful business owner or professional who would like to be on this daily program, please visit upmyinfluence.com and click on podcast. We believe that every person has a message that can positively impact the world. We love our community who listens and shares our program every day. Together, we are empowering one another as thoughtful leaders. And as I mentioned at the beginning of this program, if you're looking for introductions to partners, investors, influencers, and clients, I have had private conversations with over 2,000 leaders asking them where their best business comes from. I've got a free video that you can watch right now with no opt-in or email required, where I'm going to share the exact steps necessary to be 100% inbound in your industry over the next 6 to 8 months with no spam, no ads, and no sales. What I teach has worked for me for more than 15 years and has helped me create 8 figures in revenue for my own companies. Just head to upmyinfluence.com and watch my free class on how to create endless high-ticket sales appointments. Make sure to hit subscribe so that tomorrow morning, that's right, 7 days a week, you are going to be inspired and motivated to succeed. I promise to bring positivity and inspiration to you for around 15 minutes every single day. Thanks for listening, and thank you for being a part of the Thoughtful Entrepreneur Movement.